Let's rock the Casbah. Okay, friends, neighbors, children, robots of the future. It's Bingo is Life.
Yeah.
The podcast.
The year 2000.
In the scenic, beautiful, and very entertaining Ruby's Arcade, our sponsor.
Yes.
In downtown Harrisburg.
Thank you, Ruby's.
The town's so nice, they had to name it thrice.
Oh.
Joined by the fabulous Howdy Show brothers once again. Michael and Christopher. Okay. They sprang from the same cosmic source.
Yes.
Slow down.
It's going to be that kind of night.
It's going to be that kind of night. We have over here Dan Easley.
Kathy, that's when I start getting mad.
Hey, man, what's happening?
That's his tagline.
In the silent Dave chair, we have a very special cisgendered guest coming up. It's gonna be all yang energy tonight, or as Grayson would say, young.
Yeah, we do not have Mum Shackles with us this evening.
She's doing something very important over at Court Square Theater.
Yes,
they're currently in the middle of a run of Peter and the Star.
Oh, nice.
And the Star Catchers.
Catcher. One catcher, not
it's going
not
on.
A bunch of catchers.
I caught it Friday night.
Was it good?
I caught the show Friday night. Peter and the Star Catchers. it's a prequel to Peter Pan.
Okay.
Huh. It's got pirates and all kinds of stuff. What? Puppets.
Okay. They did a prequel. Before Pan
it's,
or
it's just like
an earlier Pan?
The origin story of Peter Pan.
Okay.
Is it
true that that story is where the name Wendy came from?
I think it is.
I think I've heard that.
Okay,
I've heard it too.
But
Wendy
I just don't know
did if it's not true. Was not a name prior to that.
Huh. Okay.
So what are we doing? What's on the agenda?
Well, I do want to briefly say tonight we have the prize went up to $200,
and nobody won.
And no one won. And yeah. I got a really great video of Henry. He rolled a split.
Oh, that's the rough. Yeah.
Because the pins went everywhere. You thought for sure they were going down.
Yeah, like, wow.
I still am now 100% certain it's possible to get a strike in that game. I have not seen visual evidence.
3 weeks ago, we had a winner.
Believe only half
you saw
of what
that
you
very
see.
Shaky earthquake video that Chris took, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the Bingo is Life multiple extravaganza entertainment thing from 7:30 to 8:30 at Ruby's Arcade.
Harrisonburg's only game show.
Only game show, and the winner of the last bingo game gets to bowl in a vintage duck pin bowling alley for now $200.
Well, yeah. So the way that's going to work,
it changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning of the month, it's $100, and if no one wins, we add $25 every week, and then by the end of the month, we can get to $200, $225, whatever.
Yeah. Fantastic.
However many Tuesdays there are, so. There you go.
It's a fabulous event.
Yeah.
I don't have my person feeding me. What's next here on the...
Well, I think we wanted to talk about the Rock Lotto.
Rock Lotto. It's next Sunday night at Golden Pony.
What is the Rock Lotto?
The Rock Lotto is...
never heard of this.
It's... everyone gets... Yeah. All these, armchair musicians. It kind of skews a little sort of cisgendered, white, older crowd.
Uh-huh.
We get together and we put our names in a hat and pull it out.
Word again. Twice now.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's good. Keep going.
Then you're randomly assigned a group of five or six folks, and you have to get together, decide who's going to play what instrument, and
for the most part, you've never met before. You've at least never worked together before.
That's
the idea, right? You kind of try to meet new people.
Right.
Create and you have to create new content.
You have to create 20 minutes of new content.
Yeah, you can't
together.
Like do covers or anything.
You cannot. Well, sometimes they allow one cover, but people are coming up with 20 minutes of original material.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's a very, this is a very Harrisonburg-driven thing, if I remember.
Yeah. Yep. Crab Action, by the way, started in that event.
Very cool. Very cool.
And so my band is called Front Drop.
Front Drop?
Don't ask me what that means.
I was just going to ask you what that means.
It was either that or Gimme Gimme, and that Gimme Gimme was
well,
taken.
That's like related.
Hey, we should give props and love to Jesse Stover because he's the one who brought that idea.
That's right. That's
to,
right.
A long time, and that was
it. Was a while ago.
It was a long time ago. He came. He was the one that saw it somewhere in Austin, and said we should do it in Harrisonburg.
Right.
And at the time, it was the Blue Nile. And so they started. I guess Mark Fink's probably.
It was a fundraiser for music education in local schools, wasn't it? Or am I conflating it with something else?
That, I don't know.
That sounds awfully good.
Yeah, it's almost too good.
Almost too good.
Speaking of almost too good, we got a guest.
We do have a guest.
And the Silent Dave chair.
I am excited because this is the first guest we've had the second time.
Oh, well, yeah. not exactly, but that's okay.
No?
Yeah. Michael from Up Front was...
He agreed that
he came back.
He agreed to come back.
But he did agree to come back.
Was Michael the guy with
the
electric
stimulator.
Check out episode early.
Or don't.
No, that was a good one.
The guest.
Anyways, we're really excited to have Mr. Ron Copeland.
Hey!
Come on in, Ron.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks
for having me.
Hey, Ron.
Absolutely. Thank you. You got a lot going on. You just celebrated 1 year of owning the grill again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
And Thursday night, you're going to have Julia, Catherine, and Amateur Rodeo. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. We're having live music and dinner at the grill, which is rare these days so far.
Yeah, down home night. Good call.
Yeah, we're doing a fancy-ish dinner and having some live music from Amateur Rodeo and having some Sagebird cider, little local collaboration.
How did you connect with Amateur Rodeo?
Through Bruce Johnson.
She's really good. We had her on the show. She's really good.
Oh, great.
Yeah. She's a good pick. And yeah, down home night. Excellent idea.
Is that your idea?
It was.
I thought so.
It just makes me happy to hear that carried forth. You know?
It is something people mention, you know.
Oh, yeah, no. We had a pretty successful run at it.
Totally.
Is the menu the same? Are you going up with...
It's probably better.
Better stuff?
It's, you know, it's gussied up a little bit. But, it's, you know, similar.
That's cool. Well, I've been there several times since we last spoke. And every time, fantastic, man. It is awesome.
Looked like a good crowd tonight for Mexi Night as I was driving by.
Mexi Night's back and going well, yeah.
Yeah. So the next move is you are bringing theater back to the Little Grill.
Rock and Roll Frankenstein.
Is there a story there?
No, tell us about your play. I'll keep quiet.
I'm doing a play. Yeah, it was, you know, there were a lot of reasons that I wanted to buy the grill. Some that I didn't, but but one of them was to do shows. You know, I kind of. Right before I bought the grill, I was doing theater up in Winchester at the Winchester Little Theater. Great place.
We came and saw you.
Yep. Oh, that's
it was
right.
So
it was
cool.
A good show.
It's a great little play, a great little theater. And my plan was to stay up there for 5 years, kind of learn from them how they do it, get on their director's track, direct a couple of plays, and then try to maybe start a theater in town. That was kind of what my plan was. And when the grill crashed, it was obviously we've talked about it before, but it was a bit of a dilemma for me and decided to buy the grill. But with an eye toward doing plays, so.
Right.
Yeah. So this is the first one. It's been a year, and I thought, well, I'm going to see if we can throw something up.
Do we know when the first play was done at the Little Grill after the changeover from the Greasy Spoon to the...
I bet Boyer does. I mean, that'd be a good question. Yeah. I wonder.
Hmm.
What was the first one you were involved in?
Well, as an audience member, the first one I saw was Marie and Bruce by Wallace Shawn with Judy Bauer in it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who the guy was in it, but I was 1986, a freshman in college, and high as a kite, I walked in the grill and fell in love with the grill and Judy Bauer and everything else. And
that was the one 86. And only time anyone has ever been high as a kite in the Little Grill.
Yeah, just for the record, that's the imagine. Only one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when was the first, of course, the most famous event that happened theatrically at the Little Grill back in the day might have been the Waiting for Godot plays.
When was it? Bastille Day only.
On Bastille
and for
Day.
Free.
And for free.
Very Howdy Shelley, even before Howdy Shelley.
No, it's an inspiration. You know what's great, though, is that, Ken Gibson is like... He's a theater man in this town. If you know anybody who's young, they all adore and love Ken Gibson in Harrisonburg High School. You know, it's just, and he was often, and I don't know that he was always in your plays, but, and when you guys did Waiting for Godot, but he was the one time I saw it.
Yeah, so. he and I did it together all four times.
Okay,
and
then, cool.
Yeah, Kilday and Jay and different people.
Pankowski. But you guys, I mean, you know, it was a pretty powerhouse group. In all honesty, now that, like, dust has settled, it's years later. You know, you're writing plays. You've done a ton of things, Jay Zare. Ron Copeland continued to do crazy things all those years, and now he's doing plays again. You know, I mean, it's theater-wise, it was some pretty heavy hitters.
And before us, there were two. I mean, Aaron Cross and Charlie Tucker, they were doing plays there. And Billy Bleeker, who's our kitchen manager now, did Glengarry Glen Ross there. And, you know, one of the acts is in a booth in a restaurant, and they moved the audience around the booth and did it right there at the middle booth. I did one act there when I was in college. I was in Zoo Story there.
I was in Zoo Story there, too.
You were? Were you tripping on mushrooms? I was.
No, that...
And it was... I couldn't believe... Yeah, it was an odd experience.
I've never actually done that.
You've never done drugs, right?
While I was performing.
Are you still a Mennonite?
No, I quit. I quit that. But I am going to be doing a headlining a comedy show at Eastern Mennonite University in April.
Wow, alumni show?
I'm not sure. They just said they wanted they thought that the ex-Mennonite perspective would be interesting for the comedy show.
It'll be the first and last time.
Yeah. How fair of them.
Get to tell my Menno Simons joke and see if anybody gets it.
You mentioned Charlie Tucker. I'm friends with Charlie Tucker on Facebook, but we've never met in real life. What happened was about 10 or 15 years ago, I joined a band. And one member of the band was named Charlie, and another member of the band was named Tucker. And so I accidentally befriended Charlie Tucker on Facebook.
Did you at that point make the connection that he was friends with people in Harrisonburg?
No, I really had no idea what was going on. And I made that connection Tucker? Later on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because somebody called me out on it. Was like, "Hey, you're friends with Charlie Tucker," and I was like, "No, I'm just really confused."
The very first play I ever did at James Madison University, I was the one of the grave diggers in a production of Hamlet. Charlie Tucker played Hamlet.
Oh wow,
it was a great experience.
That was kind of your introduction to it all, wasn't it?
Well, the very first play I did in Harrisonburg was directed by Aaron Cross, The Royal Hunt of the Sun. We did it at Calhoun's in the back room, back when that place used to still be there, where the judicial system is, judicial center, the court place that I've never been to.
So what is the run of this play at the Grill?
Tell us about the show.
How long are you doing the play for?
Well, maybe I'll say the name of the show. It's called Private. It's by a young woman named Mona Pierneau. Who just finished a one-woman show in New York. And I've had the good fortune to be in contact with her, and it sounded like she was going to come, and then she told me yesterday that she's not going to come.
Is this a world premiere?
No, it's been done in three different professional theaters at least. What's the one in D.C.? Mosaic?
I don't know.
Woolly Mammoth. One of those theaters in D.C. has done it. My friend Pat Dooley, who got me a job at the Little Grill in 1989, told me about this play. He has a theater in Berkeley called Shotgun Players, and he just thought I would like the play and sent it to me, and I did like it, and I've read it a bunch of times, and I think it's kind of perfect for the moment. It's sort of a Black Mirror-ish plot, near future, big tech sort of intrusion. It's really about love and relationships at the end, but it's funny and smart. It's fast, you know, people, it kind of has that mammoth sort of people talking over each other thing. And I think it's good for the Grill. It's, you know, four people. I think people will find it relevant and interesting and funny and cool.
No, that sounds great.
You know, it's going to be nice. And I tell you, man, the cast is so good. It's just like a weird thing that's happened. Like, they all have, like, a resume. I mean, they're all educated in theater and done lots of plays.
Who'd you have?
We have Heidi Jablonski playing Abby.
She was in with Christian
Eurydice.
Eurydice. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then a guy Noah Miller, who's just really solid, like a working man's actor. I mean, just like, and I can't describe it. He just improves every time, and he gets nuances, and he's done mostly film, but it's great to have him. Trey Jordan, a real outgoing person. You might know Trey. Trey worked at Court Square Theater, has done film and theater.
Trey,
yeah. That's the one, Trey.
Trey's leaving town after the show's over, probably, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about going to New York, right?
Yeah, Trey said that they quit their job and are going to New York at the end of May, so it's kind of perfect.
Awesome.
And then playing the lead female role is Mary Beth Killian. She works at the Forbes Center, does some theater coordination over there of some kind. But yeah, I never met her before. She came in and just rocked the house. They were all great. We had our first read-through last night, and it was riveting and fun.
What are the dates on that again?
We're going to open the last week of April, April 25th to be specific, Thursday. We'll probably do a friends and family thing on Wednesday and then open for real on Thursday. I think I'm going to try on Fridays to do like a... We'll do an 8 o'clock show every night, but then on Fridays I'm going to do a 10 o'clock show too, which I think will be fun. It's a long one act. It's probably like an hour and 10, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you should definitely do that because I think you're going to sell out. I mean, you will. How many seats are you going to do?
I mean, you know, I told the agent 40. I haven't really laid it out yet, but, you know, and that's probably about right, 40, 45.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've had success when we did Amish Project. At OCP, I mean, we sold out every show with a pretty big audience.
Everybody I talk to, and then I'm talking the people that are in their 40s that loved the grill.
That's really old.
They really not that are. Old. They are everyone's waiting to see the next. We love stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just there is a group of people that are eager to for Harrisonburg to keep doing what it's doing. It's been killing.
Yeah.
In general, the Court Square Theater has really stepped up its game in the last year, maybe 2 years. I feel like your play is coming up soon,
Jay. My play will be in June. My auditions are coming up the 8th and 9th of April at Court Square Theater.
You obviously got your auditions out to the JMU folks. I mean, are you getting...
I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't think that's true, by the way.
That's not true?
I don't think it was any JMU.
I'm way behind the eight ball, but yeah. So yeah, everybody who's not in Ron's play, who's a really good actor, who's listening to this, come audition for If There's a Rock and Roll Heaven, especially if you don't have any problems running around in your underwear and shooting guns off on stage.
It will sell out. It really is. I have total faith in it. I think that. Yeah.
When you sell, when you sell tickets, like, do you do it online? Do you just?
I think we're gonna try to use Eventbrite.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's the way to go.
Well, when you have something, let us know.
Do you think $15 is too much? I was thinking $15.
No.
You think it's all right?
No. Yeah, that's good. That's everything's is going up.
I mean, I think it's worth it. I mean, compared to a Hollywood movie or whatever, I mean, I feel like it's gonna be a good experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, people like that small, like, funky feel. I mean, the grill's cool for that.
And there's no bleachers to hide under.
You know, and all out that. I mean, I feel like that's what Pat Dooley got from working with Shenandoah Shakespeare, which is now American Shakespeare Center. That just sort of, like, I don't know, that all-out approach, like that fast, hard, you know, connect with the audience sort of intense approach.
Are you doing anything? I mean, I'm just curious about the lighting. Are you changing up the lighting at all of the grill?
Well, I'm actually going to make a lighting grid. I'm going to make a 1-inch pipe lighting grid. And this kid named Joey Besant, who was up in Winchester, like one of these kids, if you've ever met him, you know, that are like high school theater tech kids that are so f-ing smart and just like, anyway, he like... owned that place up there, and anyway, he came to JMU his freshman year, and so he's here, and he's going to do the lighting design for us.
Perfect.
That's cool.
And then I have a certain previously named friend who has connection to equipment at some local institution and is going to let us use stuff from there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, I mean, and that's how small theater can make it.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, yeah.
Was the tech kid you're talking about, did he have anything to do with the floor, the way that the show that you did had the floor with the lighting that changed through the scenes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was he a part of that?
Yeah, totally. Yes.
Did you get to see it, Jay? That play?
The Curious
Incident. The one that Devin was in?
No, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime in DC, up in Winchester.
In Winchester. They had a floor that was.
My memory is shot.
Its own light.
I probably did not see it.
You didn't go to Winchester, did you? You didn't see me up there?
No, I saw you in. I saw the one that Nevin and Bill were in. Was in.
Oh, you came up for that. Okay, yeah, St. Joan.
Well, that particular tech, I guess. I don't know. It was very. I don't know whether to call it scenery or tech, but it was really well done. And if he's doing something for you, then I'm sure it's cool.
No, he's the best. So it's just. I mean, the whole thing's been like that. There's this guy named Reese McClelland who. Like, he's been in professional theater his whole life. He did education at the Public in New York City and retired in Harrisonburg and, like, saw my thing on Facebook and was like, that sounds cool. Yeah. And, like, called me up and, like, let's talk. And so he's the production manager. So I have, like, a real-life production manager.
Oh, that's cool.
He's like, you don't need to worry about, you know, the laundry or making sure that blah, blah, blah. Like, he just talks to all the tech people. We had headshots on the first night.
Yeah.
The volunteer photographer showed up to do headshots. I mean, it's so cool. I've never done it right. You know, I've always gotten some friends. Let's do a play. And then, like, 4 weeks later, been
familiar.
We need costumes. It's just like we have a costumer, we have a lighting person, we have a production manager, we have a photographer, it's stage manager, the whole nine. It's great. Assistant director, Leah.
Hedrick.
Yeah. So it's just a great team. It's kind of unbelievable that we have all that.
I remember we did that 10x10x10, mm-hmm. and Phoebe was like, you need a stage manager. Yeah. She just stepped right in. I was like, I'm going to be your stage manager. You need somebody to, you're too busy
to
do this.
That, yeah.
And it was awesome. I mean, but yes, throwing together is often how things get done. But at the same time, having your act together, what was it, Michael Trocchia?
Yeah, that's his last
the
name.
The Italian guy, as he was referred
that
to.
That guy seems to always have his act together.
He seems that way, doesn't he?
Yeah, right? I'm like, boy, he's really... Like, I think it would be... There's something I liked about... There's something I like about the throw together because I don't actually ever have my act fully together. So I feel more comfortable with those people. And I'm happier to wing it. But when you're like, oh, we really need to have our...
Yeah.
A's and B's and everything needs to be in a row. Okay.
But in this time for me, it's like, I mean, I'm that way too, obviously, but it's like by building the team first, I mean, Tom Arthur told it to me and then told me to do it this way. And then being up in Winchester, just observing it, you know, like my first rehearsal there, we had headshots, we had measurements. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 15 people walking around who weren't actors or directors who were doing something. And I don't know, it just taught me like, well, why not just build the team first?
Right.
You know, figure it out and then have auditions. And then the actors are coming into something that's sort of ready to go. I don't know. It's obviously the way most people do it. But for me, it's been a real change. And so I can continue to kind of be a little haphazard and a little by the seat of the pants. But all I'm doing is directing actors. You know, I'm not also figuring out the ticketing, figuring out, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's fun. Because then I can be myself and be creative and not feel like I'm dropping the ball. So anyway,
no, that's good.
Finding people who want to do that kind of stuff or good at it, that's how they want to contribute, you know.
Yeah.
So who's going to do anything for your play, Jay?
I was going to ask Jay, how's yours coming along?
Are you talking to me?
You got auditions coming up. There you go.
Coming up the 8th and 9th at Court Square Theater.
Cool. Well, we've reached our time.
We
did reach our time. I know, it's quick, right?
That was zip going by.
It was by so fast.
Gosh.
So that is the end of the show. All
right, so let's
boys and girls and everyone else.
We should hit it one more time, though. So you're saying your play is going to be at the end of April.
Private by Mona Pernot at the Little Grill, opening April 25th, running that weekend, and then the first weekend of May.
Cool.
Awesome. Little Grill Theater again. That's very exciting.
It's back.
So that I hear the sound of a song about living here in the moment,
here and now,
here and now.
Good, it's not just me.
That does it for another episode of Bingo is Life, the podcast. Join us 7:30, or well, I'm never here, but 7:30 to 8:30 for Bingo is Life. It live and in person at Ruby's Arcade, our wonderful sponsor in downtown Harrisonburg. And listen to us anytime you want here on the fantastic internets. See you next time, folks.
Bingo is Life, a post-Bingo Harrisonburg podcast, is brought to you by the Brothers Howdy Show and our friends at Ruby's Arcade in downtown Harrisonburg, Virginia. If you've enjoyed the show and feel it's worth spreading a little joy in this world, please tell just one person that you like this podcast. Word of mouth, more than any other form of promotion, is how creative works get noticed and sustain themselves. Thank you, Andrew Hickey, for that bit of wisdom, and thank you, listeners, for being part of the fun.